Good evening, everybody. It is so good to be out with you tonight in a nice heated building. It's just a great joy to be here. Good to be amongst folks who want to know more about God's Word, and that will help me to learn more about God's Word and to worship Him. So, tonight, we're in the book of Genesis. We're studying about the patriarchs, and in particular, we're studying about Abraham tonight. A little bit of review. Again, this is one of the slides that I put up just about every time that we meet. Man was created in the image of God, and we are supposed to be in God's likeness. And to be in God's likeness, we have to be righteous and holy. And ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Bible has been showing us slowly but surely how God is setting forth His plan of redemption for us. The outline of Genesis, in the first 11 chapters, you've got the three main stories, the creation, the flood, and the scattering of the people. And then the rest of the book deals with four main characters: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. It's really kind of interesting to me that in those first 11 chapters, you cover about 2,000 years of time. In the first 11 chapters, up until the point you get to Abraham, about 2,000 years. And then the next 14 chapters, which we'll end with tonight, you cover 175 years, the 175 years of Abraham's life. So 2,000 years in the first 11 chapters, next 14 chapters, about 175 years. Again, this is just some of the highlights from all the chapters that we have covered. And we have covered a lot of material. Again, you're covering 2,000 years, and plus, there's going to be a lot of stories to tell. But you can see on those last two slides how many of them have to do with Abraham and with those in his family. Last Wednesday night when Brent taught, he covered chapters 22 and 23. And one of the things that he covered in chapter 23 was Sarah's death. And she gets mentioned a little bit in today's lesson, how she was, I believe, 127 years old when she died. And we'll talk a little bit about her in a little bit. Again, the same map that we've been showing. If you were to go from Ur of the Chaldees and drive up to Haran and go back down through Israel and then go over to Egypt and back up, approximately 2,000 miles that Abraham would have covered. Again, I'm not saying this is the exact route that he took. And in fact, I doubt it is the exact route that he took. But you get the idea of the inverted U there and all the area that he covered. One of the things that Brent covered last week has a lot to do with what we'll cover this week, and that's in Genesis 22, verses 20 through 24. And it says there, "Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Indeed, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor, Huz his firstborn, Buz his brother, Kemuel the father of Abram, Chesed, Hazo, Pedash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother." So Nahor was Abraham's brother. Bethuel was Nahor's son, so he would have been Abraham's nephew. And Rebekah was Bethuel's daughter, so she would have been Abraham's great niece. I kept saying great nephew when I was practicing. But it was great niece. And she plays heavily in the story tonight. She becomes Isaac's wife. To prepare for Sunday's lesson, Lord willing, Brent will be teaching that, and he'll begin in Genesis 25, verse 19, and go through chapter 28, verse 9. That Sunday's lesson, chapter 25, verse 19 through 28, verse 9. But tonight, we plan on covering chapter 24 and the first part of chapter 25. Context, again, God and Abraham and Isaac. But we also add Abraham's servant and Rebekah and Laban. Abraham is 140 years old. Isaac is 40 years old. And to me, it was just kind of interesting. If I did the math right, and there's obviously questions about if I did the math right, but if I did the math right, Shem would still be alive at the beginning of this lesson for another couple of years. Now, I'm not saying that there was any contact at all between Abraham and Shem. I'm just saying it was interesting to me that if I did the math right, that he would still be alive at this point. So interesting that the people who used to live hundreds and hundreds of years and the amount of lives that they would have overlapped. We'll start off in the land of Hebron, and then we'll talk about the land of Haran, and then Beer Lahairoi, but mostly closer to Hebron at the end of the lesson. Would you get in your car and drive 500 miles to meet somebody you had never met before and know as soon as you got there, you were going to marry them? You knew nothing about this individual. The only thing that you really knew was that they had some money. Would you do that? That seems so odd to us. But that's what she doesn't drive all the way back to Israel or to the land of Canaan, but Rebecca gets on a camel for 500 miles. And she meets somebody for the first time to marry almost immediately. So we'll meet tonight's outline. Rebecca becomes Isaac's wife. Abraham marries Keturah and Abraham's death. And if you spread out that first part a little bit, Abraham sends a trusted servant to find a wife for Isaac up in the land that he came from. The servant prays for God's help, and I think we'll see that he has learned some stuff from Abraham. Rebekah's family agrees for her to go a long ways away from their home to be married to Isaac. And Rebekah meets Isaac and is married to him. Okay, any questions or comments so far? All right. The Bible says that Abraham was well advanced in age. And again, it seems like he's about 140 years old at this point, and Isaac is 40. And he calls this trusted servant that he has, this oldest servant that he has in his household. And he says to him, "Put your hand under my thigh, and you promise me, you swear to me by the God of heaven, that you will not get Isaac a wife from the Canaanites. You will not get a wife for Isaac from the Canaanites, but that you will take a wife for Isaac from my country and from my family." Obviously, Abraham did not want Isaac to have a wife from the Canaanites. Why did he not? It doesn't say, or at least that I have seen, that I don't believe that it says. I would assume it has to do with the idolatry in the land and that kind of thing. But one of the things that we see later, if we take a look in the book of Joshua in chapter 24 and verse 2, it says, "Joshua said to all the people, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods.'" So even in Abraham's family, back up in the land of Haran, they were worshiping idols. There must have been some difference, at least, in Abraham's mind that he wanted his servant to go all the way back up there and get a wife for Isaac. The servant asked what I thought was a very good question. He asked, if the woman wasn't willing to come back with him, should he take Isaac there? And Abraham said, "Do not take Isaac there. Do not. Under no circumstances is he to go back there. God will be with you. He'll prepare the way, as it were. And if the woman will not come, you are released from this oath." I bet the servant was relieved at that. So the servant put his hand under Abraham's thigh and he swore. Now, if you're like me, that seems kind of odd. Why would you put your hand under somebody's thigh and swear? Why are you going to do that to make some kind of agreement with somebody? Well, there's one other time that we can see, or at least that I found, where this happened. And this happened with one of Abraham's grandsons and his great-grandson. This was when Israel or Jacob was about to die. In Genesis chapter 47 and verses 29 and 30, it says, "And when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, 'Now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place.' And he said, 'I will do as you have said.'" So again, they did this thing with putting the hand under the thigh to make this agreement. I saw several things on the internet about this, but none of them really seemed 100% sure. The only thing that I can say is that it was the custom that Abraham had, and it was the custom that Jacob or Israel had at that point to make an agreement. Any questions or comments about that? Okay, so this servant, this older servant, don't know how old he was, but he was the oldest servant in the house, and he must have been trusted for Abraham to give him this particular task to find a wife for his son whom he loved. And this servant had charge of everything in Abraham that Abraham had. And so he took 10 camels of Abraham's, and he got a lot of stuff and he took it with him. And he went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And I think it was in Mr. Waldron's book where he said the city wasn't called Nahor, it was the city where Nahor lived. And so the city of Nahor. And you may see in several translations of the Bible in the Old Testament, it referring to Paddan Aram. And again, I believe that's just another name for Mesopotamia. So the servant has all this stuff. And he's got other servants that went along with him. And he's got these 10 camels and he's got all of these treasures from Abraham. And he makes it up to Haran, and he stops outside of the city, and he stops at a well. And I think we see Abraham's influence on this servant. This servant is Abraham's servant, so I doubt he was part of Abraham's family. Who was he? Was he a Canaanite? I don't know. As far as I know, the Bible doesn't tell us. But he does something here that I think shows Abraham's influence on him. He prays to the God of heaven. He prays to Abraham's God. So he stops outside of the city, stops by the well, makes the camels kneel down. It's at the time when the women of the city come out to draw water. And he said, prayed to the Lord God of my master Abraham, "Give me success today. Show kindness to my master Abraham." I think that shows probably at least a little bit of the relationship that this servant had with Abraham. He wanted God to show kindness to him. It wasn't one of those situations where the master Abraham treated cruelly his servant. This was a case where the servant thought highly of his master and wanted God to show kindness to him. And the way that he wanted him to show kindness to him was for him to show the servant who he had picked out for Isaac, his son. And he laid out a way for God to show him. He said, "Let the one whom I ask to give me a drink, and she gives me a drink and waters my camels also, let her be the one you've appointed for my servant Isaac." There's a lot of work there that he's asking this woman to do. But that's what he laid out. And he says, "By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." This is a slide that I stole from Jeff and made just a very small change to it. Boy, you can't read the left-hand side. I'm sorry. Or it's pretty hard to. But you can kind of see the red line, maybe, hopefully, in the map. And that shows the 500 miles up there and the 500 miles back. A 1,000-mile trip that this servant is making to go find Isaac a wife. And Jeff said, Abraham's servant traveled approximately 500 miles to Haran. He had to locate Abraham's kindred. He had to find a woman who would be willing to leave her family and travel back to marry a man she didn't know. And she had to travel back with these servants that she didn't know. All he could do was hope his efforts would be rewarded. He could do one more thing. After receiving his instructions, he prayed about it. And isn't that a great example for all of us too? When we've got a big task in front of us, what better thing can we do than to lay it out in front of God and to say, this is what I've got in front of me. Please give me wisdom to handle this situation. This servant of Abraham's, he did that. So, at that time, Rebekah came out to draw water. Just like I said, it was about the time of day when they came out to draw water, and Rebekah did that. She came to the well to draw water. She was very beautiful, and she was a virgin. So the servant ran to meet Rebekah. Didn't say why he ran, but he ran to meet Rebekah. And he asked Rebekah for a drink of water, just like he's laid out for God in his prayer. And Rebekah took the pitcher off her shoulder, gave him a drink, and said, I'll water your camels also. And she did that. And again, that's no small task because he had how many camels? He had 10 camels, right? And camels are notorious for the amount of water that they're going to drink. And so she's taking on a big task. And it stands out to me a little bit too because we'll see in a little bit, I don't think she's coming from a poor family at all. She has a nurse. She has maids that are going to go back with her back to meet Jake Isaac. And so she's not in a poor family, it doesn't seem, and yet she's the one who's coming out to draw the water. So I think that says a lot about Rebekah, too, and her family. There's one more thing that the servant has to find out. Abraham told him he wanted somebody for Isaac from his family, from Abraham's family. And so the servant takes a golden nose ring and some bracelets and he puts them on Rebekah. And he asked her, whose daughter are you? Hoping it would be in Abraham's family, I'm sure. And is there room in your father's house to lodge? Well, Rebekah tells the servant she was the daughter of Bethuel, who was the son of Nahor, and that there was room to lodge. Now, when somebody asks me who I am, I don't generally say much more than, well, my name's Johnny George. I don't say I'm Johnny George, the son of Nelson George, the son of William George. And I'm not sure that she did that. Maybe the servant asked enough questions to get all of this out of her. But at this point, the servant has to be ecstatic. He has a lady who has done everything that he asked God for the lady to do. Draw the water for him and draw the water for the camels. And she's in the right family. She's related to Abraham. And what does he do? He takes a moment to worship the Lord. I think it was in some of Wayne's slides that I saw where he mentioned how important it is for us when sometimes we just have a moment in time. We don't have 30 minutes or an hour to make a prayer to God. We just have a moment in time, like this servant, to take that moment to thank God or to worship Him, to use that moment because God has blessed us. That's what the servant's done. And again, I think we can probably see Abraham's influence on him there. So Rebekah goes to tell her family about it. Laban is her brother. We'll read more about Laban when we talk about Jacob and Rachel and Leah. And it says in chapter 24 and verse 30, so it came to pass when he, Laban, saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man. I couldn't help but think, was Moses giving us some insight, some early insight into who Laban was? because we know how Laban dealt with Jacob. He's a deceiver himself. Is Moses giving us some insight into Laban that he's interested in this gold and Moses to meet this man who's handing out these kind of gifts? I don't know. But he does go to meet the servant. And he says, come into our house and we'll provide a place for the camels. And there was food provided for the camels. And all of Abraham's servants, I don't know how many there was more than just one though, were provided water to wash their feet. And food was provided for the servant. And I think we see in the next thing where this servant had taken on Abraham's nature in a way. You know, for the longest, we've been talking about every time God gave Abraham something to do, did he put it off? No, he didn't. He went to it and he did it immediately. Well, it seems like the servant is doing the same thing. He said he wouldn't even eat until he told the family what he was doing up there. And he told them, Abraham, his master, God has blessed tremendously. He's a very rich man. And Sarah, his wife, had a son in their old age. And they've given everything that they have to their son Isaac. Abraham wants a wife from his family for Isaac. And he told him about how he had prayed to God at the well and how Rebekah had done everything that he had prayed about there at the well. And so he says to them, he asked the family, will you let her go to be Isaac's wife? And Bethuel and Laban answer him and say, you know, this is from God. There's no need for us to answer this. She can go. It seems strange to me that Laban had any part in answering this. And maybe this is something that y'all can help me with. Bethuel, her dad, sure, he would have the right to say she can go or she can stay or whatever. But why is Laban speaking up? I don't know the answer for that. Maybe it was just the custom that they had at that time. Again, the servant worshiped God, took that moment in time, the moment that he had to worship God. Because you know at this point, he is very happy. He's made this 500-mile trip. He wasn't going in some luxury vehicle, riding camels or walking or whatever. Long trip. He's going to a place maybe never been to before, meeting Abraham's family that he's probably never met before on a task that isn't the easiest of tasks. And yet God has prospered him all this way, and he worships God because of it. And he gives Rebekah silver and gold presents, and he gives Laban and her mother precious things, it says. Again, it doesn't mention giving precious things to Bethuel, but to her brother and to her mother. And then, at that point, after he'd taken care of his business, he and the other servants that were with him ate. This is a beautiful story. Any questions or comments? Yes, sir. Thank you. And Basilio was saying that we need to understand that this story is real, that this is not a made-up story, and that we serve the same God, and that he will prosper us as well. Any other questions or comments before we go on? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, and Haran is in Mesopotamia, and in a lot of the Old Testament books, you'll see that he went to Padanaram, which is another word for Mesopotamia. And so Haran was in Mesopotamia. Yes, sir. Thank you. Good question. Other questions or comments? Okay, thank you. The next morning, again, he seems like he's just like Abraham. Remember when Abraham was to go to offer Isaac up, he got up the very next morning and went to do it. Well, this servant, he gets up the very next morning and he says, "Send me on my way." He wants to take care of the job that he's been given. God's prospered him to this point. He wants to go. And as you would expect, the family says, "Hold on a minute. Let her stay for a little while longer, at least another 10 days. But the servant says, "God is prospering me. Please let me go. Let me go back to my master." They said, "We'll let Rebecca speak for herself." And Rebecca said she would go. It takes a lot of faith on Rebecca's part. Okay? She had never met the servant before, in all likelihood, or these other servants that are with him. In all likelihood, she had never met Abraham or Isaac before. She's fixing to travel a long ways on a camel. Not a lot of fun. But she said she would go. And her nurse and her maids go with her. Okay, so bad picture of somebody riding the camel. And the camel thought he was real pretty. So, but I'm sure that Rebecca had a whole lot better saddle than I did on this particular occasion. But she's going 500 miles. I went a mile or two and had enough. Okay, Rebecca becomes his wife. Before she leaves, her family says, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Isn't that what we've been talking about as far as Abraham for the longest? Where God has told him, "You will be a great nation." And her family is telling her, "We want you to become a great nation, the mother of thousands of 10,000s. And of course, she does. Okay, they get back to Canaan. And Isaac is coming up from the way of Beer Lahairoi. And I'm sure I'm butchering that name, but you remember that well. You remember when Hagar first left Sarah, when Sarah was treating her so badly. And she went out, and the angel of the Lord came to her and told her that she was with the child Ishmael, and that he was going to become a great nation. And she said, she named the place Beer Lahairoi, or the well of him who sees. Well, Isaac is coming up from that area. I don't believe he's there at that, but he's coming up from that way. Sounds like he's coming back up close to Hebron. And he went out to meditate in the field. And of course, that's a great example for all of us too, right? What better thing to do than to think about God and to meditate on his word? By ourselves sometimes. He saw the camels coming, and Rebecca saw him out in the field, and she asked the servant, "Who is this?" And the servant said, "It's my master." She gets off the camel, she covers herself in a veil, and goes to meet Isaac. I was asked tonight, why did she cover herself in a veil? I don't know the answer to that. Does anyone have anything that they could add to that? She covered herself. She went to meet Isaac. The servant tells Isaac all that he had done as far as the trip is concerned and bringing back Rebecca to be his wife. And then Isaac took Rebecca into Sarah's tent and she became his wife. Again, a very beautiful story, and as has already been mentioned, it's a true story. Questions or comments about this? Norm?
If Abraham was concerned about Isaac meeting someone who would be a good spouse for him. We all learn from that. As parents and grandparents, how concerned should we be while our kids are growing up and while our grandchildren are growing up? How much should we pray to God that they will meet someone who will be a good spouse for them and be a faithful Christian all their lives?
Very good point. Norm mentioned that Abraham went to a lot of work, expense, whatever, to find a good wife for his son Isaac. And shouldn't we see that example there, that we want to find a good spouse for our children? Start early. Good comment. Any other comments or questions? Brent? Very good. So Brent mentioned that Rebecca checked all the boxes to allow the servant to know that this was the one. Abraham had said, angel will go for you and prepare everything for you. And what he prayed for at the well, her being in the family and her being willing to go. Okay, good. Mike, did you have your hand up? Oh, okay. All right. Sarah was 127 years old, we learned last week, when she died. Isaac would have been 37 years old when Sarah died, because she was 90 when Isaac was born. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebecca as wife. And so Isaac was married approximately 3 years after Sarah died. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Okay, so a couple of things from this. Apparently, Isaac and Rebecca started off well, because Rebecca is comforting Isaac over the loss of his mother. And so that's good. We don't have arranged marriages here anymore. Sometimes we as parents might would want to. Maybe we wouldn't. But we're commanded to love our spouses. And apparently that's what Isaac and Rebecca did back then. It was arranged for them. They didn't get to pick out who they were going with. But it works out good. The other thing is, to me, is that it's 3 years after Sarah has died, and it says that Rebecca comforted Isaac. So it tells me, or at least I believe it shows, that Isaac and Sarah had a really good relationship. That 3 years after her death, he still needed comforting. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Questions or comments there? Okay. Abraham married Keturah. He had 6 children by Keturah. One of them was Midian. And I think he was probably the father of the Midianites. This brings up to me something that's kind of interesting. In Genesis 16 and verse 12, it says, "And he, Ishmael, shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." That is what the angel told Hagar when she was at Beer Lahairoi, before Ishmael was actually born. He said, "He will dwell in the presence of his brethren." Then, in Genesis chapter 37 and in verse 28, another story that you'll remember is when Joseph was thrown in the pit and he was about to be sold by his brothers. It says there, the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Looks like the Midianites and the Ishmaelites were banded together in this group of traders. Ishmael dwelt in the presence of his brothers. The Midianites were Abraham's descendants through Keturah. Ishmaelites were Abraham's descendants through Hagar, and they dwelt amongst each other. It's so beautiful how the Bible story just flows, and everything that God promises, it happens. Before Abraham died, he sent away all of Keturah's children to the east, and he gave them gifts, but he gave all that he had to Isaac. Okay, questions or comments about that? Okay, Abraham dies at 175 years old, lived a long life. Isaac would have been 75 at the time, Ishmael would have been 89, and Isaac and Ishmael buried him. I believe Colton brought that up a few lessons ago, how that Ishmael helped burying Abraham, so he still had some kind of relationship with either him or Isaac, even after he was forced to leave Abraham's house and was in a very stressful situation there at the beginning. Still, Ishmael thought enough of Isaac or of Abraham or both to help bury Abraham. God had promised Abraham that Ishmael would be a great nation, that he would have 12 princes, and he did. And Ishmael died at 137 years old, and his relatives lived between Havilah and Shur, and that would have been toward the very south of the land. You see there on the map, Beersheba, a lot of times when we talk about the land of Israel, we talk about from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. Of course, they were further south than that, but that was the last probable arable area that they lived in. And so Ishmael and his descendants would have been further south than that. And again, we're beginning to see how Abraham's descendants are expanding considerably. I just want to take a second. I won't read all of this. And I think we've probably brought this up a few times already. What a great example of faith that Abraham is. And it seems important now after his death that we've read about to at least bring that back up again. Yes, he was a man. Yes, he made mistakes. But he was a great example of faith. And Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16 talk about that somewhat. He wouldn't be in Hebrews 11 if he wasn't a man of faith. He was looking forward, it says, to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. He could have gone back, it says, to where he came from Haran or from Ur. He could have gone back there, but that wasn't God's plan. And he looked for someplace better than here. All these people, it says, were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the promises. And we won't receive the promise here, not the big one. The one that we're looking forward to, of being in heaven with God for eternity. We won't see that here. We have to have faith. And if we have faith like Abraham and follow after God, then, like Abraham, God won't be ashamed to be called our God. Any questions or comments, real quick? Thank you for your participation.